May 7th, 2018, we're at the top of Daf Het Amud Aleph. We continue in these En-Ben Mishnayot, these Mishnayot which are showing what the difference or what's not the difference between things that seem similar to each other. So the next Mishnah talks about Nidarim, right? We've talked about Nidarim several times in the past in different contexts. The beginning of Parashat Matot, the Torah describes Nidarim and Shibu'ot, right? The difference between a Neder and a Shibu'ah is Shibu'ah means action-based. I will do something, I won't do something. Neder means an object or a concept will be forbidden to me. That's a Neder. So we're going to talk about Nidarim over here. Now you can make different types of Nidarim. You can make a Neder that I won't benefit at all from you. You can make a Neder that I won't eat from you. Those are distinct. One's just eating, one's just hana'ah, in other words, a benefit. What's the difference practically between the two? So that's what this Mishnah will talk about, and in turn, the several lines, short lines of Gemara over here. So at the top here of Daf Het Amud Aleph, En ben hamudar hana'ah mehavero, lamudar mimenu ma'achal. So there's that word, mudar, milashon neder. Person who's forbidden with a neder, hana'ah, which means benefit from his friend, and someone who's forbidden from ma'achal, meaning foods, so there's no difference between the two, except for all intents and purposes, they're equivalent. Ela derisat ha-regel. What's derisat ha-regel?
Lidros
means?
Step on.
In other words, are you allowed to step on my property? Right, so if you're mudar ma'achal, if you're just not allowed to eat from me, so you're allowed to step on my property. If you're mudar hana'ah, so you're not allowed to be stepping on my property at all. And what else are you forbidden from? What else is the difference? Vekelim she'en osin bahen ochil nefesh. And utensils with which you don't make food. Like a vase or a table or a chair or anything else. But what would be forbidden to both? A pot, a frying pan, all those sorts of things. What's that?
From the bed, give me the bed, I could have hana'ah too.
Say it again?
I could have hana'ah from the bed.
Right, no, but that's someone who's mudar hana'ah is asur from all kelim, even she'en osim bahim ochel nefesh. Someone who's mudar ma'achal would be permitted in a vase. But someone who's mudar ma'achal, listen carefully, is forbidden even from a pot. But a pot isn't food. But it's that close to food, you're not even allowed to get benefit from, you're not even allowed to borrow his pot. So again, the two basic differences between the two are, number one, am I allowed to walk on your property? Mudar hana'ah, absolutely not. Mudar ma'achal, yep. One second. Kelim she'en osim bahem ochel nefesh. Any utensil except for kitchen utensils is forbidden for mudar hana'ah, permitted for mudar ma'achal. What about kitchen utensils? Forbidden for both. But wait a second, I only said I'm not going to get benefit from your food. That's close enough to be considered like food. Yes, Joey?
A rake in the field.
Same thing. Kelim she'en osim bahem ochel
nefesh. But it brings ochel nefesh to the house.
Right, but it's two steps removed.
Oh, okay.
It's more than just one step.
Then you have to cook it.
Says the Gemara, Hale inyan kelim she'osin bahem ochel nefesh, ze veze shavim. Says the Gemara, quite simply, what we just said. Kelim she'osin bahem ochel nefesh. In other words, utensils with which you do make food, they're equivalent. Even hamudar ma'achal, I'm still not allowed to use your pot. But wait a second, your pot is not food. It's close enough to be considered food. Onward in the Gemara. What about derisat haregel? We said a difference between the two. In addition to kelim she'en osim bahem ochel nefesh was, am I allowed to walk on your lawn or not? Ha lakapde inshe. Says the Gemara. Wait a second. Ha hare lakapde inshe. People don't mind. I don't mind if you walk on my front yard, assuming you're not going to trample my flowers, you know, if I had nice ones, or my potatoes. I don't care if you walk on my land. So if that's the case, why should this be forbidden even for someone who's mudar hana'ah? Because again, we're saying in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to walk on the guy's lawn if you're mudar hana'ah. Assuming walking on the lawn is hana'ah, what sort of hana'ah is that?
Like a shortcut.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
How much is that? That has value?
A shortcut?
How much value does that have?
No,
but it needs to be a value, hana. It's valueless. How much value is there? How much value is there? How much?
There's value. If it's pouring outside or if it's 100 degrees outside, there's a lot of value.
Is there real value? Is there monetary value? You would pay for it?
Oh, monetary.
Says the Gemara, in fact, you would pay very little. That's the point. So that's the answer. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Hamaneh. Maneh means who is the opinion over here? Whose opinion are we dealing with? Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, yes. De Amar Vitur Asur b'mudar hana. Levater means to give up. To levater means to give up easily. Well, even the matters that we give up easily, they might have soft value. They might have some value, but it's negligible. Right, even that, what's that?
Definitely has value.
But negligible value.
You pay for a bridge, or you get
bridge
all
is
the way
different.
Around,
bridge is different. Bridge is different. Over here, we're talking about walking in
walking.
Your property.
Okay.
Over here, we're talking about something that's negligible value. It's pennies. It's quarters. Yes, sir.
That's going on the landowner or the person that's walking on it.
The landowner.
So what is the landowner, whether he's makpid on people walking on his land or not, have to do with the person who's walking on its hana'ah?
Because the question is, how much value is there to walking on my land?
What does it matter if someone else is makpid, whether or not you do it?
If someone's makpid, that gives it, because that's what gives it the value. In other words, you get hana'ah, you can get hana'ah from anything. That's subjective. Over here, we need an objective value. An objective value means, I don't want you on my land, but I'm allowing you to go on my land. That's objective value over here. So says the Gemara, there's no objective value. People don't care if you walk on their yard or not. The response is, I care a little bit. And that in and of itself, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is enough. It means our Mishnah is following this minority opinion, Rabbi Eliezer.
Is your point,
Jack?
Jack, is your point, if I made a vow not to get any benefit from you, who cares if you allow me or not, if I'm getting value?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's
the answer is, it needs to be an objective value. The way we make something an objective value is if we say this in the market has a value.
Do you have an example?
So we gave loads of examples. Anything that you would pay money for in order to get it, that's called hana'ah, if I'm giving it to you for free. So the question is, would you pay money to walk on my lawn? It doesn't make a difference if you would the average guy. And so that's the response of the Gemara. It'd be the Ezer says, well, it doesn't matter. The point is, even if it's negligible, that's called vitur, it's something I would give up, but it has value. That's that. In other words, to a certain extent, David and Jackie, the Gemara is, you guys are to be Eliezer. The point is, if you have some sort of value. Right, okay. Onward in the Gemara, says the Mishnah, En ben nidarim li nidavot. So here we talk now about nidarim and nidavot. We're talking specifically no longer in the realm of what I can benefit from you. We're talking about what's called nidre hekdesh and nidavot of hekdesh. What's hekdesh? Hekdesh, of course, is donation to the mikdash. So the difference between nidavot and nidarim is slight. It just has to do with one word. Do I say, when I see an animal, I say hare alai ola, or I say hare ze ola? What's the difference? Well, alai means on me, it's on my back, I'm mithayev. Ze means this animal is ola, or shilamim, or toda, whatever you want to call it. Designation, right? So the question is designation on me or designation on the animal?
If it's on you, then any animal.
Ned, well,
is on you.
That's correct. And so therefore, what, Joey?
This animal is not the one I want to
kill. That's right. Hare alai, and therefore, I may have had in mind this one. Let's say this one dies, but I said hare alai.
You're stuck.
You are stuck. Well, you have to find another one. Says the Mishnah, En ben nidarim le nidavot ela. The only difference between the two, for all intents and purposes, they're equivalent. Sheha nidarim hayav be ahrayutan. Ahrayutan, ahrayut means responsibility. So if, let's say I said the following statement, right, here's my animal, say hare ze ola, and it dies.
I have to,
done. I'm free. I say hare alai ola, but I meant this one and it dies. I'm hayab ahrayut. That's what the Mishnah means over ela sheh nidarim. When you say hare alai, hayab ahrayutan unidavot eno hayab ahrayutan.
Can you get out of that?
Yom Kippur.
Which one?
You have to get another animal for
the blanket.
No way to get out of it. What do you mean? What do you want to do? Hatara?
I can't afford it anymore.
You want to do hatara? You could try to figure out a way to do hatara.
So the nidr you made on this animal.
Oh, on a specific animal? No.
You died.
The animal died, you'd have to go and do hatara. Gotcha. But if you did it on a specific animal, harezo, it's done.
Yeah.
Okay, says the Gemara, Hale inyan bal te'ahir zeveze shavin. What's bal te'ahir?
Don't be late
in bringing your korban. So first things first, line in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the only difference between the two is if it's lost or dies or something like that. They are equivalent, both nidarim and nidavot, whether I said hare alai or hare ze, that I'm going to be over nisur, I'm going to go against the sisur of lo te'acher l'shalemo on both of them. Where's my deadline?
Got to pay it.
Where's my deadline? Right. What's the deadline of the Torah? So tremendous machloket in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. We're posek lahalacha shalosh regalim. That's how we posek lahalacha shalosh regalim. If you hit one regel, you're already over on a mitzvah ta'aseh. There's a mitzvah ta'aseh to bring it on the first regel. You did three, it's mitzvah lo ta'aseh. You get lashes, get malkot. So it says the Gemara, hada inyan ba'al ta'achir zeh v'zeh shavim. Okay, so that's the deduction. Tenan hatan. Tenan Hatam means it's a Mishnah Hatam. Hatam, Sham, right? Both of these, we switched the Taf with the Shin. Shaninu, we learned. Sham, over there. Hatam, Sham. Ezehu Neder, what's a Neder? Ha Omer, Hare Alai, Ola. That's what we said. Hare Ezehi Nedava, Ha Omer, Hare Zo Ola. So far, pretty clear. Ma Ben Nedarim Le Nedavot. What's the difference between the two? Nidarim meto nigmevu o abdu haya bahrayutan. Nidavot meto nigmevu o abdu eno haya bahrayutan. So to a certain extent, this Mishnah, which is a Masechet Rosh Hashanah, is basically equivalent, just in longer words, and more clear than our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara now. Minahane mile. So what's the source for this difference? Go ahead.
When you say bli neder, it's going to nedava.
When you say bli neder, it's a misnomer. Because we said shivu'ah is when I say I will do something. That's so you should say, you know, when people say bli neder, they mean to say bli shivu'ah. It's a bli neder is only when I'm osir something. The only rationale I have for saying bli neder is there seems to be a concept of a neder lekayem et ha-mitzvah. The Gemara Masechet Nedarim Adaf He talks about a person who says, I'm going to study Torah. The Gemara calls that a neder. For some reason, mitzvah lekayem et ha-mitzvah is even bekum ve'aseh. So when you say bli neder, that's, but it won't affect
that
you on about
that.
Right. Apparently, for some reason, Ritva, right, talks about this in Masechet Nedarim. For some reason, mitzvot are different. Mitzvot are different, and when it comes to mitzvot, we call it even a neder. Why that's so needs more clarification, at least for me. I used to in my youth make fun of people who said bli neder and say it's not neder, it's a shivu'ah. Until I discover maybe you could say neder when it comes down to it. But you know, anyway, minah nemile says the Gemara. What's the source for this? Now, why did the Gemara just quote this Mishnah? This is a very technical point. This Mishnah is identical to our Mishnah. But nothing really changed. Then the Gemara also continues, says Minahan Emilen says the Tanura Banan refers to a Beraita. Apparently, this is my understanding here. My guess here is that this Beraita was in some way linked to the Mishnah that was quoted in the Gemara. Sometimes you'll find that Beraitot are linked to Mishnayot. A Beraita will explain the Mishnah. Even though they're both from the same time period, one will be explaining the other one, will be elaborating upon the other one. So it's strange that this Mishnah is quoted here when it's identical to our Mishnah. This Beraita now is going to explain it. My guess is it was connected to that Mishnah that was quoted in here from Masech Roshah. Okay, anyway, the Tanur Rabbanan. Here's the Pasuk. Venetza lo lechaper alav. And so what's that Pasuk? If I'm not saying the Pasuk, it's talking about Olat Nidava. Here's the Pasuk. Vesamach yado al rosh ha'ola. Right, you do simicha. V'nirsa lo lechaper alav. What's v'nirsa lo lechaper alav? It gives you kapara. Okay, but pay attention to that word alav. Alav means on him. Okay. So I could have said v'nirsa lo lechaper. Extra word alav on him. Rabbi Shimon omet et she alav haya b'achrayuto ve'et she eno alav eno haya b'achrayuto. As it says, here's how I read this word, alav. A korban which is alav, which is on you, for that you have a hayut. Which type of korban is on you? Neder, hare alai, right? Alai means, that's what we started off, is on my head, as opposed to hare zev, nedava, is on the animal, not on me. So I can say, here's the derashayas. Venetzalo lechaper alav. He says, you want to get that kapara? Well, you better make sure that you have this korban in a circumstance where it's alav. In other words, in a circumstance where it's a neder because it's on you. As a matter of fact, take a look at Rashi on the right hand side. Right? This is how he's being doresh. Venetzalo nidro. His neder will give him this risui, this favorable situation. When you are actually mitkaper, when you actually bring it, that's when you got the risui, that's when you got favorable situation. But before kapara, in other words, before you actually brought it as a korban, lo nirsa, you didn't get risui, you didn't get the favorable judgment on this matter. And in what circumstance am I telling you the only way to get risui is with the kaparaga? We have three things in the pasuk. Venesalo, that's risui, that's a favorable situation. Lechaper, we're reading that as when you do the kapara business with it. In what circumstance? Matai? Alav, when it's alav. You understand how they're being doresh? Venesalo, question mark. When? Lechaper. When? Under what circumstances? Alav, neder. That's how the Gemara is doresh. Rabbi Shimon omer et she'alav haya b'achriyuto v'cheino alav eno haya b'achriyuto. Says the Gemara, my mashma. Who told you that a neder is quote alav and a nedava is not alav? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi kevam de amar alai. Once a person says the word alai keman kimi, it's as if deta'ina katve dame. It's as if you placed it upon your shoulders. Deta'ina katve. In other words, the statement is it's on me as opposed to it's on the animal.
So do we learn from that that if it's a nedava, as soon as you make the nedava, you have the kapara?
No, you got the ritsui, right? So it's split in a nedava. It's split. In other words, you got the ritsui once you put in your effort. In other words, if it's a onus situation, in other words, the animal stolen or whatever, then you got your ritsui even without it. Yes, but it's not immediate. If it's immediate, then chalas, just leave it in your yard. No. It's you do your full effort on this matter. So again, to summarize this Gemara, quite simple, right? The Mishnah is distinguished between neder and nedava, told us the difference is ahrayut. Ultimately speaking, in the Gemara, what was our source for this? Venetza lo lechaper alav. Okay, onward. Mishnah. En ben hazav haro'esh heter iot laro'esh shalosh ela korban. What's a zav? It's a person, a male, who has an emission. Now, a discharge has a discharge. Now, what type of circumstance? The Gemara Masechet Nidah describes exactly what it needs to look like under what circumstances. Okay, we're going to talk about it. Generally speaking, it's discharge. A man has discharge. It's called a zav situation. What's the halakha under such a circumstance? Bisman Shebet Hamikdash Kaya. Right, we're into the realm of Tumah and Tahara. Now, Let's say it happens once, one discharge. You wait until the evening and tahor. Assuming it doesn't happen the next day, you're done. And you're tahor for all matters the next day.
Even if you don't go to the mikveh
for one time. If you hit twice or three times, you have to wait 7 days, clean days, shiva nikim, just like a woman would have when she's married. You need to wait 7 days in which you don't see. And then on the seventh day, even during the daytime, specifically during the daytime, you go to the mikveh and you wait until the next morning and then you're tahor. Now, what's the difference between two and three? I just lumped two and three together. And now, secondly, how does this work? This is important just to note. How does it work over here counting two and three? The way you count two and three is it needs to be a bit of sifut. It needs to be, let's say I saw one day and then I had a day off and then I see another day. Does that count as two or does it count as one?
No, you
That's
tahor.
Just
you one.
One. Right, I became tahor in the middle, so it's got to be a bit of sifut. Now, the difference between two and three is what? Because I could have seen one in day one and two in day two, and that counts as three. That counts as three altogether. What's the difference between the two, whether it's two or three? Says the Mishnah, En ben zav haro'esh heter re'iot laro'esh shalosh ela korban. For all intents and purposes, they're the same. You got to wait 7 days and you have to go to the mikveh. The difference between the two is if you saw three times, you also need to bring a korban on day eight.
And on two, I don't have to.
And on two, you don't have to.
Same thing, I have 7 days.
What's that? 7 days without a korban. That's it. That's the halakha. Now, what sort of tum'ah do you have until you do it? We'll talk about this in the Gemara. It's called tum'at mishkav u'moshav. Tumat Moshkav and Moshev we'll discuss in just a few moments, but I'll give you the basic outline of that right now. Mishkav and Moshev means if it's a bed, in other words, it's something that you sleep on, or a mat that you sleep on, or a chair that you sit on, in those circumstances, just by sitting or just by lying on it, you impart to that, as a Zav, a full-fledged Tum'ah. It becomes Av HaTum'ah. What does it mean, Av HaTum'ah? There's lots of Tum'ah and Taharat concepts.
It means it could spread
to others, but not to just foods. It can spread to a person, and it could spread even to utensils. Afilu la'adam v'kelim. There's a separate difference between the two, which we'll discuss now as well, between Av HaTum'ah and Rishon LeTum'ah. Av HaTum'ah, you know, what's it called? The pea and the princess and the pea, you know, to the bottom of it. So if you have 10 mattresses, and you sit on the top one, or lie on the top one, you are a Zav, and you lie down. It's a mattress. They're all Tum'ah. If you're Ava Tum'ah, they all became Tameh, and they're all, you know, that's the other difference, as opposed to if you just do it as a Rishon the Tum'ah.
Like giving a Korban becomes Tahor?
You wait 7 days, you go to Mikveh, you bring Korban, and you became Tahor. No.
So you have to give it.
You have to purify it, or becomes Tameh. You have to immerse it, you have to, there's processes, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why the Korban?
What's that?
Why not Korban?
That's what the Torah says, what do you want? Maba'arif.
Maybe because if you're the Korban, then Bet HaMikdash, you're the Korban.
This is all Bisman HaMikdash, there's no Tuman Tara, Bisman Shein Bet HaMikdash.
Two nights in a row, they're both on the same night, it's probably Kalvachomer, no?
One on the same day, you just saw once, twice? You just saw two in the same day?
You saw two in the same day. It's Kalvachomer, no?
I think two in the same day counts as one.
Really?
I believe so. I believe that they need to be spread into 2 days.
But if you see two in two different days, then Kalvachomer to one day.
All right, well,
two and three go to one day. Two the same day is one, because you have to hold it night.
I don't remember. I remember it being a derasha, but I might be wrong on that. We've got to check that one up. Okay, but let's see the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, Hale Inyan Mishkav Moshav. That's what we talked about, right? Mishkav Moshav is this Tum'ah. Right, we're going to say that both 2 and 3 are identical, are the same. Usvirat Shiv'a, and counting 7 days. We know what all this means. Ziv Zeh Shavim, they're all the same, right? That's what we said. That's period. So that we can establish from the Mishnah. Mishnah said the only difference between the two is whether you bring a korban. For three, you bring a korban. For two, you don't bring a korban. Says the Gemara, minahane mile. What's the source? Minahane is a compound word. Minahane. From where are these mile words? Where are these concepts from? Where's this distinction between two and three? Who told you this? Detanu Rabbanan, the Beraita teachers, Rabbi Simai Omer. So here's the statement of Rabbi Simai, one of the Tanaim. Manaha katuf shetaim ukira otame. Shalosh ukira otame. Mana means counted. The pasuk counted zav twice and called it tame. And then it counted zav three times and called it tame. What's he talking about?
Yeah.
Take a look at the right hand side in Rashi. I don't know. From before they go wide, I would count up about 13, 14 lines. Manaha katuf shetaim, writes Rashi. V'ish, that was just a few weeks ago, parasha. Ki yihyeh, count the times. Zav, one. Zav mi besaro. Zuvo, two. Tameh. Okay, so two times in the same pasuk that ends with the words tameh, yihyeh, it says the word zav. So it means that over there, it's mentioning the ziva two times. It seems to establish some sort of importance two times. But furthermore, there's another pasuk right afterwards. It says, Vezotie tumato, there's the word tumato, bezovo, one, rar besaro, et zovo, two, hechtim besaro mi zovo, three times. So the derasha so far, Rabbi Simai says, I don't understand. One time it says two, one time it says three, it means there's some sort of separate status to the two and to the three.
What's
all together, count them all together. I don't know. I guess maybe Masoret on that. I don't know. Rabbi Simai omer, mana hakatuv shetaim ukra otame, shalosh ukra otame. Hakesat, how's this possible? And the answer, David, by the way, is probably, for all intents, probably in truth, we had Masoret on this. We had this distinction. Rabbi Simai now is searching for it in the Torah. That's my guess. And we had some sort of tradition on this.
So you're saying this is an asmachta then?
I think it's probably, well, not an asmachta. It might be a derasha deoraita. What I'm saying is we had masor. You find this sometimes. We had masor, this was the halakha. Hina asmachta, generally speaking, when you use those words, you're talking about a din derabbanan. This is like a sibata katub or something like that. In that respect, hakesad, how's this possible? Shetayim letuma, 2 times establishes you as being tamen, mishkav moshav, shalosh le korban. That's his derasha. It says two for the lower level, 3 for extra korban. Says the Gemara.
It's right here in the Mishnah.
What is?
Right, it just says in the Mishnah.
We want sources from Pesukim. The question, I'm asking, my question is, which one came first? Did the halakha come and then we looked for sources? We knew the halakha and then we looked for sources? Or this is the source? Because David's question is only a question if this is the source. As we found it from here, then he says, why don't you need 5? Okay, so Ve'emar says the Gemara, wait a second. Shetayim l'tuma ve'lo l'korban. Shalosh lekorban velo letumah. Maybe it should go the opposite way. Maybe it should go, if you saw 2 times, so what do you need to do? You become tameh mishkav moshav. 3 times, no counting, no tumah. You want to know what you need to do? Just the korban. Well, maybe we should split it like that. Who told you that it's 2 times? Says Joey, it's ridiculous. That's what Joey just said in different words. He says it can't be that korban, I became impure after 2 times. So now 3 times that just evaporated into thin air, and the korban just cleaned me up. Says the Gemara, Amarta, you're telling me ad shelora ashalosh ra ashitayim, right? Before seeing 3, I saw. Okay, says the Gemara, but wait a second. Maybe the derasha. I understand you want to distinguish, you want to split them up, but I could split them up differently. The emar shetayim the korban. Maybe at 2 you're not tameh, korban. Velo le tuma shalosh after tuma. 3 brings you up to tuma. Maybe I go like that. It says, we have a separate beraita. V'chiper alav ha-kohen lifnei Adonai mi zovo. And the derasha on that word mi zovo is from some of his zovo. So again, the pasuk is talking about korban. And it's saying that the kohen gives you kapara mi zovo. And the derasha is mi zovo from some of them. Mi miksat zovo. Well, that means to say that sometimes you bring a korban, sometimes you don't bring a korban. If you always bring a korban at 2, it means you can't get to a state where you're not bringing a korban. Miksat zavin mevi'in korban, or miksat zavin en mevi'in korban. You might ask me now, but one I told you, one is not even mikveh. One is not even called a zav. One is called tumat keri. That's what we call one. So the derasha over here is, it says mimikzad zova. So I got to put it all together, right? So what do we have so far? The Bisimai told me 2 and 3 are separate. How am I going to split it up? He says 2 for tumah, 3 for an additional korban. Maybe I should do it differently. Maybe I should say 2 for korban, 3 for tumah. He says it can't be, because the pasuk seems to say you only sometimes bring korban. I mean, only sometimes bring korban. If you tell me you bring korban at 2, everyone always brings. Hakesad, how's this possible? Ra'a shalosh mevi. Shetayim eno mevi. So that's so far we're okay. Says Gemara, I still have a problem. Or eno ela ra'ashat lo shetayim mevi. Ra'ashat lo sheno mevi. Maybe I should really argue that way. It can't be. Why can't it be, Charlie? Because it's not possible. Once I got to 2, you can't jump to 3 without going past 2, right? Says Gemara, amarta ad shelo ra'ashat lo shetayim. It's impossible to jump from 1 to 3. It has to be that in every circumstance, before you got to 3, you're going to have brought a korban if you bring it at 2.
And these are consecutive days.
These are consecutive days, or it's in the same second day. So when all the dust settles, what the Gemara did for us over here is it gave us the source for this distinction between 2 and 3. Now the Gemara really just closes it all out. V'istirich dir bisimai, v'istirich mizovo. And we need both of these separate derashot. Even maybe each one could stand on their own. You know, this is classic hachamim discussion over here. Why do I need all these derashot? Just give me one. Di'im dir bisimai, if I had just had that derashot dir bisimai, 2 and 3, what question would I have on him? What was the question? You told me 2 or 3. I would tell you that potentially 2 is when you bring korban, yes, and 3 is when you become tameh. That's why I need the other pasuk. Kada amina ki kushin. I would have thought to be stuck with our question of earlier. Kamashma'na and mizovo. So why don't I just have mizovo? Just give me the pasuk of mizovo. That'll teach it to me. V'iz mizovo. No, one is not enough. No, one is tumat keri. That we know. Okay. 2 or 3 is the only real thing. V'iz mizovo lo yada'ana kamare iot. I wouldn't know 2 or 3 at all. Joey says, I would have thought one, I forget about one, maybe I would say four or five. Right. One, I don't think, one is right. out, right. one is tumat keri, kamash ma'lan dirbi simai, that's when we need the derasha of dirbi simai. To summarize everything we did today, three separate mishnayot and gemarot, tomorrow we'll go onward, right? The first mishnah was the difference between a mudar hana'ah and mudar ma'achal. And the basic difference between the two was twofold in the Mishnah. Number one, derisat haregel. And number two, kelim she'en osim bahem melech nefesh. The chidush was kelim she'osim bahem melech nefesh. Oh. Even a mudar ma'achal is asur from it. That was the biggest chidush over there. Nidarim and nidavot, the next one. What's the basic difference between the two? Whether you're hayab achrayut, ne'evdu, nignivu, or any of that circumstance. Neder, you're obligated. Nidava, you're not. What was the derasha for that? V'nisa lo lechaper alav, chalas. Next, what's the difference between Ro'e Sheter Re'iot of Zav and Shalosh Re'iot? The only difference is Korban. Three brings Korban, two doesn't bring Korban. Mishkav Moshav is identical on both of them in terms of if you lie on the bed, it'll be Metameh all 10 of them or, you know, or all 100 of them. And secondly, you know, in terms of establishing it as an Av HaTumah. Says the Gemara, what's my derasha for that? Twofold derasha. Number one, Shetaim and Shalosh, Zov, and that's Rabbi Simai, but maybe I should split it up differently. That's Mizovo teaches me that the way I split it up is two for Tumah, three for Korban, Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen, Amen.